And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Essential Technologies, text line 251-343-0106. Comment, complaint, suggestion, any feedback is appreciated. So we'll get to them as soon as you can get them to us. We'll do our best to get them to them as soon as possible. Still to come, State Representative Ed Oliver of Tallapoosa County. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay right where you are. Joining us now on the line, he currently represents the 2nd Congressional District, but he is running for Republican nomination in our 1st Congressional District. Congressman Barry Moore is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I am doing fine. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. Well, let's start here. Give us kind of a rundown on how your campaign is going.
It's going good. We're actually going to do our major media buys for January today, so good ads will be coming up, but putting a message out there, and we've been working really hard. I think we were 20 nights on the road over in Baldwin County, the team was, and so far the reception's been great over there. I appreciate the people and certainly meeting with people from Mobile County, and, you know, 7 of the 9 counties we already represent, so we've done our work here, and I'm well pleased with what I'm hearing. The district's going to be extremely conservative, so for a guy who's House Freedom Caucus and the most conservative guy, according to CPAC in 2022 in Congress from Alabama, those numbers just bode well for what our message is, and I think we can do a great job representing this district, and so we're excited to be a part of the process and just run until the finish line.
Well, let's start here, your pledge on not funding the government until the border, southern border is secure. We got a government shutdown looming here. Kind of walk us through the reasoning.
Well, the reasoning is every American, if you're paying attention to what happened last month with over 300,000 people that came into this country, and look, these are young males, they're well-dressed. This is an invasion, Jeff. And if you can sit back and we can all say, well, you know, we've got this issue or, you know, whatever the issue is, every American recognizes there a crisis going on in our country. And listen, we've got Joe Biden was elected 36 months ago. He was sworn in January 36 months ago. And a few days after that, he did away with the border, Trump border. He stopped the wall. He said, okay, I'm going to do away with the Remain in Mexico. We're going to just let this broad brush of asylum pour into this country. And even then, House Freedom Caucus, we started going to the border and bringing attention. Man, this has gone on long enough. We have two things we can do in Congress. We have oversight. People are tired of hearing stuff. I mean, we've had Mayorkas on the border. He bald-faced lied to you. He will sit there in Judiciary Committee and lie to us and say, oh, we have operational control of the U.S. southern border, as the video shows thousands of people pouring into the country. So now we're going to impeach him. So oversight's part of that. But the only other leverage we have in Congress is spending, my friend. And the only language this swamp system understands in D.C. is you got to cut the flow of money to get their attention, to make them do the things that matter to the American people. Otherwise, they turn a blind eye, deaf ear, keep on spending, and could care less what you and I think. And actually, I think in a lot of ways, it's almost intentional what they're doing to our country. It's time to say enough is enough. We should have done this in the NDAA. We should have attached H.R. 2 to the NDAA. But instead, we did not. And so the border is now a crisis that is certainly every American recognizes, and it's time to take tough stance.
How many of your colleagues do you think share this view and share this approach? Do you think it's going to make a difference?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I know Mike Lee in the Senate and some of the conservatives in the Senate are standing with us. Certainly House Freedom Caucus, I would say, out of the 40 of us who are in House Freedom Caucus, I feel pretty confident that a majority of us would be willing to take the stand. But I don't know what choice we have, man. This spending as usual, you know, just continue. Don't mind the border. Don't pay attention to that. You know, to me, it's a dog and pony show if we really don't take the tough stands. And in Congress, the purse strings are our leverage. And that's where we have to tighten it up and say, we're not spending any more money to fund this woke, weaponized, wasteful government while you allow hundreds of thousands of people a month pour across into this country. We don't know who they are, where they're going, and what they're up to.
Well, did you, the margins are really thin that by ceding this to, well, I don't know necessarily ceding it, but if you force Republicans to have to go to get looking for Democrat votes, what kind of hazard does that pose?
Well, I mean, it's this business as usual. I mean, it's like we, even recently with the NDAA, where we allowed a majority of the Democrats, 160 team, but 140 Republicans to pass this horrible bill. And it's like, there's nothing in there for the border, but there's more money for Ukraine. There's more money for the FBI to spy on U.S. citizens, but we can't take care of Americans first. You know, it's just, we have got to hold the line. Even though I think you're right, Jeff. I mean, we don't have a huge margin. But if we stick together as Republicans, we still have the majority. And all the Republicans will say, oh, we want to secure the border. But then if we do nothing to secure the border, then it's just smoke and mirrors. And so it's time we have an opportunity to say, hey, Schumer and Biden, we are going to shut this thing down unless you shut the border down. That's the leverage we have, Jeff. That's the hand we're dealt. And look, I didn't go to Washington, D.C. to join the status quo caucus. I went to join the House Freedom Caucus and try to save this country. My friend, the border and the debt are two crises that this country faces, and the border is immediate.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, this was like something a lot of Republicans ran on in that 2022 midterm cycle. And we're just now kind of getting around to Mayorkas and impeachment. A lot of this seemed to be really slow moving. Here it is, the beginning of 2024. And, I mean, there's a few things to show for the Republican majority, but maybe not as much as people had hoped.
Well, you're exactly right. And, look, there's three parties in Washington, D.C. There's the Republicans, the Democrat, and what we call the uniparties or the appropriators. And so what happens is you get this mass of just this swamp, this uniparty. And they, you know, again, they'll get out and run and say they really want to fix the problems. So they always vote yes on business as usual. I mean, it's always a CR at the end of the year. It's always, oh, we got to pass this or the government's going to shut down or, oh, we got to do this. And we continue down the path of 27 years with no appropriations bills, not all 12 passed like they should have. We continue on down the path of this omnibus stuff. We continue down the path of this $83,000 a second now in interest that we're paying on the federal debt while we're sending money to foreign countries, and yet the border's still wide open. The FBI can still spy on American citizens. The IRS is still targeting, you know, any kind of conservative groups now. The ATF, again, they want to turn pistol braces. They want to turn all of us into felons. I'm like, why would we fund this government that really is targeting the American citizens instead of protecting them? This is supposed to be consent. You know, they're supposed to govern by the consent of the American people, and we're not getting that, my friend. Right now, it's just business as usual, Washington, D.C. They're printing money. They're running up inflation, but they're not securing our border. We're sending money to foreign countries. We're not redoing our infrastructure in America, and that's the problem. They go along to get along. These lobbyists get these guys' ears. They donate big money to them, and nothing ever changes. So to make the hard no vote, sometimes it's required, and, you know, it's not an easy path to take, but it's the right path to take, and it's what we must do.
Well, do you find this, whenever we talk about shutdowns or whatever, the reaction from some of your colleagues, and maybe even yours, there is a, and I don't think, you know, the fear of the pushback, and this has been true for 30 years, going back to Newt Gingrich, I guess, the fear of like what the media are going to say about you or whatever that may be, the Republicans seem to be less willing to exhaust these tools in their arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, we let the media intimidate us and we let the fear of a shutdown, but remember Trump was able to call it the Schumer shutdown. And we had an opportunity this time to do a Schumer shutdown. We could have passed our 12 approach bills, but instead we wait till the end of the year. And listen, I'm more afraid of the American people and the future of this country than I am some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. or what MSNBC is going to say about me, Jeff Poore. I want to do what's right for the country, and I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in a fight. You know, we're salt, my friend, and we're supposed to slow the decay, and that's our job. And so we're in this fight to save this country. And I don't care what the media says. I don't care what my opponents say. I don't care what the left in this country says. There is a group, a mass of humanity that shut down Bud Light. They're looking for conservative leadership. They're the people that took Jason Aldean and tried that in a small town to number one. There is a group of people in this country who are willing to stand and fight. That same group of people expect me to do the same thing for them, and I'm going to do it. By golly, if I'm the only no vote, I'm the only no vote. But why are we going to continue to fund this woke, weaponized, wasteful government that's targeting American citizens while sending money to foreign countries and letting us be invaded on the southern border? It is time to take a stand. The time is now.
Joined by Barry Moore. He's running in the 1st Congressional District for the Republican nod. He represents the 2nd Congressional District as the maps currently constituted. Congressman, I think for a lot of our listeners, what you're saying is what they want to hear from their member of Congress. I guess, what do you say to those, though, that would say, well, you're putting some of the federal government, the military bases or some of the defense contracts or some of the funding that a lot of people in this district rely on at risk when you take that approach?
Yeah, I understand that. Listen, and even in a shutdown, Jeff, 75% of the government still goes on. It's not like it stops completely and shuts completely down. But again, it's our leverage. And look, I'm a veteran. I've got a ton of people that serve this country, but I can't tell you how many call my office said thank you for the no vote on the NDAA, because granted they were going to get a 5% pay raise, but it opened the FBI to spy on U.S. citizens just to continue that reauthorization. It didn't do anything to secure the U.S. border, but it sent $600 million to an Eastern European country called Ukraine to secure their border. It authorized that. And so there are patriots out there. There are people out there, Jeff, who say, if we have to shut it down to fix it, it's kind of like if you got a motor, brother. And if it's running low at all and the rods are starting to knock, the first thing you do is shut it down. Then you make the repair and then you crank it back up. If, in fact, we have to shut it down to save the country, the short-term shutdown is a long-term game for the American people. It is time we have people of courage in Washington, D.C. who will look at the lobbyists, who will look at this special interest group, who will look at this uniparty and say, enough is enough. You cannot drain this swamp and simultaneously fund it. You cannot bring home the bacon and save the nation. These are things we have to take a stand on. The time is now, Jeff. I didn't go up there for a career in this thing. I went up there to save this country. Our kids and grandkids are looking at us. They're leaning on us for leadership. The conservatives in this country are quiet. They're tired of being quiet. And the silent majority, they need leadership. It's time we stand. It's not an easy thing to do, but I guarantee you, most of the people that are listening to this radio show, most of the people in Congressional District 1, a vast majority of the American people are saying, Barry, you and your friends must stand now for our country. The time is now. Sure, it's easy to roll over and vote yes, but that is not what we're called to do. This fight is to save this country. The border is unsecure. It's obvious. It's time to hold the line.
In doing a shutdown, what you find, a few days go by, and then you see a lot of people who were kind of in the shutdown camp kind of fold. Like, if you go this route and you do have the numbers in your favor and you want to send a message to the other side, like, how do you keep everything together, do you think? How do you keep everybody on board and not really reading every news story or listening to every MSNBC report or whatever and getting a little weak-kneed?
Look, you look people in the eye and say, we know closing the border is absolutely the greatest crisis facing this country as of today. There will be other crises in the near future, but right now the border, we know it. I mean, we had 150 people dying today from fentanyl overdoses. That's the number one killer of young people, Jeff, in this country. It's coming across that southern border. That alone is enough of a reason. That's a national security issue. If we didn't have the 300,000 people last month and ever, we don't know these people that are coming in here. I mean, what just happened in Israel, man? We've got over 250 is the last count that I heard of people on the terrorist watch list that have come into this country. We have millions here, up to almost 20 million people. We don't know who they are, where they're at. They're undocumented. They're going to crush our education system. We're going to crush our healthcare system. Jeff, we cannot continue down this path. So you look at your friends and say, stand with me, hold the line. The time is now. And it's the only leverage we have is the budget. We can't do anything else. We've had our hearings. Yeah, we can impeach Mayorkas, but without metrics in place, we can pass more laws. But if there are no measurable metrics to say the border is closed and stop this crazy asylum, giving people cell phones and shipping these people all over the country, we don't know where they're at, why on earth would We just got to hold the line on it. And I think it's imperative. People understand that argument. The American people are with us on that argument. And I think after the holidays and the 302,000 people that poured last month, I think there's a resolute conviction among the people, certainly us House Freedom Caucus and conservatives in this country, that say, you've talked about it long enough. Stop tap dancing in the swamp. You can tap dance for so long, but stop tap dancing in the swamp. Let's fix the issue.
Another question on the border here. What's the stop? Let's say you are successful and the Biden administration comes and says, okay, we're ready to play ball with you here. I think there are some people out there who say that if you pass a law or if you pass funding, what's to stop the Biden administration from just maintaining the status quo and not doing anything different, even though they may have agreed to terms in writing or even in verbally, but just kind of just like they're ignoring the law right now?
Yeah, the measurable metrics that are in HR 2, the things that say, if you do this, we'll do this. If you do this, we'll do this. It ties the results to the funding. It ties the results to the progress. And so it's not just, yeah, you can't just pass another law, because the Biden administration is steadily breaking the law right now. We believe that the way they're applying asylum, this is specific for individual application. This wasn't broad brush. Anybody comes here, claims asylum, they get a cell phone, $800, and we send them on their way. Yeah, we have to have metrics in place. This HR 2 is a great bill. The way it was drafted, we pass it out of judiciary. That's the bill that's got the measurable metrics that's tied to funding, Jeff. And so there are things in place that are it's not just another law. This is measurable incremental steps to improve the security of this country and secure the border.
Congressman, well, we got to get out of here before I let you go. Folks want to find out more about what you're up to, your campaign and so on and so forth. Where can they go?
So you can go on for Republican Barry Moore for Congress on Facebook, U.S. Rep. Moore, Barry Moore. We've got an official page, and certainly follow us on our official Twitter or X or whatever they call it now, Jeff. U.S. Rep. Barry Moore. We'll keep you posted on what we're doing and keep people in touch, and look forward to hearing from others and meeting folks as we're out there.
Congressman, we appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right, we got to get a timeout in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.